Yo, 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 what up? It's your boy Kobe Mack, and this is the Kobe Told Me podcast. Yo, whenever I want to, bonus pod where I get to amplify my thoughts on whatever I want to, and this time with whoever I want to, and it's all for your listening pleasure. Would you please consider giving your boy a follow? I'm on all the socials at Kobe Told Me on Twitter and Instagram. And if you're still on the Facebook, I'm there too at Kobe Mack. Welcome, welcome, welcome back. And let me tell you about HBO's latest, do I want to call it a hit? We'll see. Run. But before the romp begins, I've enlisted the help of some of my Twitter faves, Mr. Dan Bayer, at Dance of Dan on Film, Ms. Nicole Ackman, a.k.a. Nikki A, at Nicole Ackman 16. How's it going, guys?
It's going pretty good here.
It's going as well as it can be right now.
Gotta take things a day at a time now. I feel like I say that way too much. Like taking a day at a time. But like that's really all we can do. Like I live like a couple miles away from the newly burned down Wendy's here in Atlanta, so it's fun.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
That's no fun.
Yeah, I mean it's weird being so you got a global pandemic, you have this unrelenting civil unrest, and you're like, when will it end? I've got no clue. Like, do you remember how it was 2.5 months ago when we thought we'd only have to be inside for 2 weeks?
Never thought that it would only be 2 weeks. Really? But I remember the part where I'm thinking, like, yeah, it'll just be until summer.
People thought I was crazy when I was like, no, I really think it's going to be a month. And, like, look at us now.
Yeah, three months in?
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Three months in. Tomorrow is my 3 month
anniversary.
Quarantine anniversary, I think. Yeah.
Same here. The last day that I was in the office.
Anniversary.
Yeah, tomorrow would make the last day I was in the office 3 months ago. And it's weird because like Atlanta's in Georgia and it's a very it's a very red state. And so this state is opening up whether we like it or not. I don't agree with it. But at the same time, you know, I kind of got shit. When I say it's a personal choice, I mean, like, it's my personal choice, but to also think of other people's personal choices. So, like, the way that I move, it's me, my daughter, I go out to run errands, and, like, I will say this, I am so mindful of, like, how close I am to somebody, getting things, wiping things off and stuff like that. I really limit where I'm going and how I'm moving, but damn, I want to get back to a movie theater so bad.
I know, and I just don't – it's hard because I don't know when I'm ever going to feel like that.
Yeah. And it's
like that
it's
is
like,
okay.
And I can't knock anyone for like, oh, nope, I'm going to wait till like there's a vaccine. Yo, that's absolutely fair, you know. And like it's – I'm not one of those that like, oh, it's a hoax because it's not. Like I think the numbers are real, and I also think the deaths are real. You know, I have people who have been deeply affected by this. At the same time, I think we don't know a lot about it, you know. I really hope that we can know some more. I wish there was like a go-to, like, yo, this is the place where I want to go to know. But unfortunately there's nothing I could really, really buy into. But the good thing is we have like distractions from like the pandemic and some of the civil unrest. I do feel a bit convicted as a black man, like I should be doing more. So I figure, you know what, let me talk about entertainment to offer just a little slice of something to think about outside of it. And HBO was able to help us out, I guess.
In a way.
So, with Run, what did you guys know of the show before it came out?
I had seen whenever they announced the casting for it, because I'm a big Donald Gleason fan. And he's one of my favorite actors. And then I saw a bunch of people on Twitter that I really respect, particularly women, talking about how great it was after the first couple of episodes. And I really don't watch much TV at all. But I was like, okay, and I'm going to make an exception for this, and I'm actually going to watch it. And I also really don't like watching TV before, like, a full season has come out, so I can see, like, okay, were people disappointed by it? How did it go? If people liked the whole season, then I'll watch it. And I decided to make an exception for this, which maybe led me down the wrong path.
That's really interesting. So you're the type that says, all right, I'd rather wait till the entire season comes out, binge it through, as opposed to like following with the show episodically every week.
I think it's because I've been burned so many times by TV series that seemed pretty good in the first few episodes and then went really downhill. And I'm very bad about, like, once I commit to a show, I'm probably going to finish it. I can't quit things, which means that I just don't start things a lot of the time.
Dan, are you not a quitter on TV as well?
I mean, I am still watching Grey's Anatomy after, 15 seasons. Yeah, but it's weird though, because on the other hand, I quit. There was a good couple years ago where I just like said, it's too much TV that I'm watching. I have to like make the tough decisions and cut things out. And I did. And I'm now watching much less, and it's things that I just enjoy more fully than things that, like I loved it, but I got so frustrated, so I stopped watching Empire, and my life is so much better for it.
When did you stop Empire?
After the third season, after the season after he got shot.
Okay.
Like, I watched that whole season, and then I was like, I can't anymore. Because that was also the season where they had Alicia Keys guest, and that was weird and uncomfortable.
I think the third season is when it really – I think the show got too big, if I could even say that. Because I will say this. The first couple of seasons, I was on wax saying, like, yo, I think Empire is the wave of the future for television.
Yeah. Totally. And then it just
– the way that it crossed media, like, it was able to sell music in a space where you can't sell music anymore. And it felt like true event TV, at least in an urban space. I know we're trying to get rid of that word. look at me. Talking like an exec.
It was event TV, period.
Yeah.
It was event TV, period. It crossed over. Yeah.
And, like, I'll say this. Like, that – like, I know the man is in a funky place personally. But Jussie Smollett is one of the most talented individuals that I've seen on TV in a very long time. It's unfortunate that he didn't think of that more, in some of his personal decisions. But now I think it's cool. I'm definitely the type that once I get invested into a show, it is very hard for me to quit. I may delay watching for a year or two or three, but I'll generally find my way back to it. Like, with this time working from home, it's so weird where generally I was in the office, 8 hours a day. But I had 2 virtual days, but I would I'm an extrovert. I want to be around people. So I'd still go in my office on my virtual days. Right now that I've been working from home for 3 months, 100%, I'm like, how did I I did have a lot of time to watch TV, right? Like, it's crazy. Like, how much work things that I've watched and I've revisited and started new. I mean, I've taken some weird twists. And usually my HBO has been reserved for springtime, which is Game of Thrones and Westworld. And we're a year removed from Game of Thrones, and Westworld is all done. So I'm like, do I still keep my my HBO? And I was seeing these promos for this new show with Merritt Weaver, I dig, Domhnall Gleeson, Ayo, I dig. And there was something very mysterious, because it was saying nothing about what the plot was. And I did not do any work into really trying to uncover it. I was like, you know what? Let the marketing wash over me. And then when I get to that first episode, I'm going to let it go. So I had no idea what I was in for, but there was something very alluring, very sexy, in a really, I want to say unusual way, in an unconventional way, right? At least by Hollywood standards, of pairing these two together. And I was like, all right, I'm here for it. And I love less than an hour, comedies. Can we call this a comedy? Is this a comedy?
I think so. Like, what? It was, I laughed a lot.
There's some really I want to say kitschy. I need to find the right word. Like, it's cute. It is comedic. In some ways, it is dark in a lot of ways. It still is alluring and it still is sexy. I just don't know if it all came together the way that I thought. So what is general thoughts overall of the season now that it's done?
They tried.
I honestly will say that the first 3 episodes of the season are some of my favorite episodes of TV. And I could even see myself maybe going back and rewatching them. There was so much potential there. And I also think that how I feel about it might be changed if they do end up getting a season 2.
Yeah.
I might feel differently about the first season. As its own product, if this is all that we ever get of this, I felt it was pretty disappointing. And the last 3 episodes maybe were... were pretty bad. They were a letdown.
Yeah.
And none of that, I will say, is any fault of any of the actors involved. I think it does have some really nice acting moments in it. Merritt Weaver is fantastic. And I also appreciate that, we don't often see a woman like Merritt Weaver in this kind of leading role that's meant to be, kind of sexy, because she is, and I'm not saying that she's a large woman, but she looks like the woman that I know in my life. She's not your typical model thin actress, and so I really appreciated that we got that from this. And then also, like, Donald Gleason's kind of an unconventional leading man. Not everyone is as into him as I am. So I appreciated that part of it. I think there's so much to like in it, but it really did feel like a letdown by the end of it.
Yeah, it was just one of those things where it felt like they couldn't decide what they wanted the show to be, and every time they changed direction, the characters suffered for it because it was like they really couldn't tell, does she really want to do this? Does she prefer to be with her husband and go back to him? Like, what does she want? Do the writers know? Do the characters know? And there's a big difference between those two things, right? The like it seemed to me like the characters didn't know because the writers had no clue what they were doing, not that because the characters were genuinely conflicted.
Yeah, I mean
Absolutely.
I think you guys are spot on. It's interesting because like I'm not too familiar with Vicky Jones. Are any of you guys are?
I know her as Phoebe Waller-Bridge's partner, producing partner, writing partner. That's about
So
it.
do you think is that was pretty much the parlay and getting into this is like, wow, pretty much Fleabag was this out of nowhere hit, quickly got its second season and is done, and we need to get our Fleabag fixed. So like, if Phoebe won't like completely come on, at least we can get Vicky. Does that seem like that's how that's kind of came about?
I definitely
I
think it was trying to
honestly don't
capture the
know.
same audience that Fleabag had.
And I'll say this, I was late to the Fleabag party. Started it during quarantine.
Same.
I was surprised how much I loved it. Like I was like, wow, I really adore this character, but I feel like it only works for Phoebe Waller-Bridge. It'd be interesting to see like who would have been cast as Fleabag in Fleabag if it wasn't Phoebe Waller-Bridge, and would it have worked? I don't know.
Yeah, I also was
Yeah,
shocked by
it's
how much I
definitely one of
liked
those.
Fleabag and also watched both seasons during quarantine. And I felt at the beginning of Run that maybe it was going to capture some of that same kind of fresh, unusual feeling that Fleabag did, and be that kind of clever. And then it definitely was nowhere near that clever.
Yeah, the show seems to like hit on exploring desires or sexual pursuits that we normally would always keep like locked away, tucked in like our deepest, darkest like thoughts in our mind, right? And that's something that appealed to me, right? Even with me, with everything I've going on in my life, I think tapping into those darker things, I always find it really interesting to like how somebody would explore with that, right? So just the premise of the show being that you have, two ex-lovers activate a long-planned escape to disappear together, right? One, I'll ask this, kind of based on your overall thoughts, did you buy them as ex-lovers? Because I guess they were ex-lovers in college.
Absolutely did. The chemistry between them was genuinely some of the hottest chemistry I've seen on TV in a long, long time. I had no trouble believing it at all.
Yeah, I thought their chemistry was great, but I also felt like they captured very well the idea of like they are no longer the people that they were when they were together. And so they're both trying to piece back who they are now and if that works together. And I do kind of wish they'd actually delved into that more because I thought that was one of the most fascinating things is like, do they still have any kind of a future? Are they still compatible? Or is it just this leftover chemistry from when they were in college?
Yeah, and it seems like that type of energy gets palpable if it was such like this burning intensity and it had to like, like they had to stop it because it just wasn't healthy for them, right? And I was kind of almost hoping that it went down that like so because I tried to ask myself, well, why didn't it work? And I'm trying to remember, did they go into why didn't it work?
Between the two of them,
Yeah, between Ru Ruby and Billy.
they They said something about how it was. Shh, wait, I don't remember now.
If they did say it, they didn't make a big enough deal of it because I kept being like, wait, remind me why they broke up? Like, how did she end up with this man that she's married to?
Yeah, I mean,
Like.
Rich Sommer, he's an interesting actor, right? I would say everybody in this cast is very unconventional to like what this series, what I thought this was gonna be, right? And Lawrence, playing Ruby's husband, he seems like I guess an every guy, but like a
He's a
very
nice
straight
guy.
lay. He's a nice guy. I did like that. I think it was in like the fourth or I think it was like in the fourth episode, we got a little bit more backstory to Ruby and her family dynamic, and I guess the issues that she had, and like she settled for Lawrence. And I think we've all settled at some point in our life, right? And not really satisfied with, like with what we had. I mean, it's good. Like it's good with what we have, but like not necessarily can I have more? Can I have something different? Did I miss out on something? So I got the motivation from Ruby. Billy's motivation, I'm still a little leery on.
And I think that Billy's storyline is really where the show kind of fell down for me, because it was supposed to be, like they did the whole thing with him and and it just didn't work with his partner,
Fiona.
Fiona, who, wanted his money. It was unclear if that was money that he had or if it was money he made from his speaking engagements or whatever. And like what
All of that just felt money.
everything
It
about
just felt
that
money.
story, it didn't work with what the story that they were it seemed like they were originally trying to tell, which was about the what ifs of life. Like can we make this work again? Like what if it had worked? What if we could get back together? And it just none of it. That once it started with the whole caper plot, everything else just stopped, and it they lost what made the show so good and so interesting.
Yeah, you're, I
Yeah, I
mean,
wish that they had kept it more focused on this personal dynamic between the two of them and this idea of the what if, and also that they maybe explored a little bit more that, part of what prompts Ruby to do this is she feels underappreciated in her life. She feels like, she's settled in every sense, both in her marriage and her career. And hadn't gone on this like weird. I'm like, who wanted this plot with like the murder and the cops and the all
oh
of that?
God.
Like,
This show does
that
feel
wasn't what I
like
came
it
for.
is really
Which like I
segmented.
appreciate Yeah, and then like I appreciated some of that stuff for like the oh my God, what are they going to do next of it all. But like that was not what I tuned into the show for, nor was it what I think the show is best at.
Yeah, I
I mean, the
definitely.
show was the best at those two characters of Ruby and Billy, and the show was at its best when it was focusing on them and focusing on the question of, like, can this work? Do we really need or want each other, or is it just some deeper unhappiness in our lives? And they never really answered that question either, which was
No.
really frustrating. The last episode, the way they ended this series was just like,
So I
it's
didn't
not
know that was the
quite
last
slap in the
episode.
face, but it was like bad.
Oh
It was
yeah.
just not good.
I had no idea that it was the last episode because I'm like, what? Seven is an odd, it is an odd number.
Who
Seven
chose
is an
that?
odd number to just stop. And I felt like, all right, if we're gonna, this is a season one, right? In the event that there's not a season two, this would be like very, very frustrating. Because I've invested my time into this world and got nowhere near the payoff that I thought I wanted. But at the same time, the mystery is what brought me to this. And like, I'll be honest, the first 2.5 episodes, I had no fucking clue what was going on. Like, because I was just spending time with them trying to understand what. Like, it's like they were playing this weird game of like tiptoeing around each other of
Yeah.
like, how are you that unaware of someone's life? I mean, there's Facebook, there's Instagram. Like, I've looked up some exes just to kind of see their general well-being. They apparently haven't.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where, like, I can kind of understand Ruby not knowing where Billy is or what he's doing, just because, like, the self-help world is, like, a very self-selecting thing. Mm-hmm. And if you're not into it, you're not into it. But...
I mean...
But, like, it was clear that Billy had some idea of what she was doing, but, like, how did he not know that she had kids?
Yeah.
You know, like, for all that he knew about her, supposedly, how did he not know that? Very big thing.
Yeah, it's definitely unique. Like, those first 2.5 episodes, like, I was still good. Like, even though I didn't really have an idea of where the show was going, I liked it being self-contained to this train. And, you know, having participated in so many writing workshops and, you know, and taking classes, like, that is something that can really keep the focus in regards to, like, the situation that happens and then what can stem of that in regards to the comedy and, like, how these two are forced, whether they're vibing with each other or not, when they're in these close... I mean, one, they're inside of a, you know, kind of a sleepaway car. It's a very nice-looking train. I've never ridden a train like that in my life. So, like, it seems like, I guess if you have the time, it's a great way to have, like, leisure and travel. But...
And the money. Like,
oh, yeah.
Trains... It is train travel is surprisingly expensive. It is comparable to air travel. Yeah, it's insane.
It is. And what's weird is that then they leave the train. And I was fine with the little, like, pit stop in Chicago. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
It was cool. And I didn't mind the Ron, like, kind of like meet up with Fiona until I knew what Fiona's, like, plans were.
Yeah.
Fiona
is... She's not, like, a wasted character. I just don't see, like, her purpose. It didn't add anything to Billy. It was a foil.
No. It made it more complicated, even, and worse, frankly.
Yeah.
This show, it's perplexing because, like, I really, really, really want to like it. And then when you get to...
It could have been so great.
It really, really could have. So I wonder, when Phoebe Waller-Bridge's character, which is a very just interesting...
I love that. Like, I really loved it. It was so balls out and weird.
What voice was that? I didn't know that I needed Phoebe Waller-Bridge playing a taxidermist, but
right?
I did.
Lesbian taxidermist.
Honestly, at that point when she was introduced, I'm like, I almost don't need Ruby and Billy anymore. I just want whatever this character is, and like her. It was like this kind of weird Fargo meets, you know, Fleabag kind of thing. Yeah, I mean, especially like her little with Babe Cloud. Shout out to the diversity of this cast as well. Like, this is a really, really diverse cast. I just wish they were in something much better.
I felt like I needed like an hour more, like two more episodes to tie those two storylines back together at the end, because I feel like we had four fascinating characters. And then by the end, I was like, I'm still not entirely sure like why we had Phoebe Waller-Bridge here.
Like, yeah. I thought it was just going to be like a little small cameo in one episode. Because I really did not spend any time, like, you know, reading any pieces about, like, the first episodes or, like, seeing what, like, the general sense was. I was like, I really wanted to kind of, like, be completely contained into, like, how I was perceiving it. And then, like, oh, so she's in here for, like, several. And you're like, is she stunted? I didn't know, like, where her disconnect is. But, I mean, I guess if you're a taxidermist, you are a bit, you know, you have some interpersonal, you know, and people relationship issues. But, like, she's aware of it, too. And she uses that to her advantage, which I found was, like, really, really intriguing.
Which is so great.
It really, really is. Like, the way how she weaseled herself into this unassuming sheriff's love life. It just, like, apparently, I guess she knows her enough to, like, I'm going to find my way into this woman's bed. And it just, I bought it completely. I've never said, I don't think I've said this. Or if I have, I definitely don't say it often. I think this would have made a better movie than a first season of TV. Right?
Well, it was really interesting. When it ended, I actually had to look up, is this a mini series or a full television series? Because if it was a mini series, like the way it ended is like kind of unconscionable and I really hate it.
What's the
But if it
rules
was
if it's
going
a
to be like an
miniseries?
if it's a self-contained series, like
Okay.
if this was the actual, if this was always meant to be the actual end of the series.
Okay.
Because like that end, it just it's not an end that felt like it made sense with anything that came before.
Dan can tell you, I sent him a lot of texts in all caps whenever I
Yes,
watched the
we talked
last
about this a
episode.
lot. We were very upset. The two of us are just like, no, you don't get to end this way. Like the it and the, I think it comes down to the character of Ruby just they didn't they kept vacillating back and forth on what she was in this for and what she felt about Billy, and it kept vacillating back and forth, and when it seemed just when it seemed like she was fully in and would at least like ask him to explain something, like the big reveal to her of that video clip at the end, and then she doesn't. Like she takes that as just the ultimate slap in the face, and she's not gonna ask her. Like, cause and it's made worse because you can see in Domhnall Gleeson's performance, like he is selling that Billy has changed and that he genuinely doesn't care about whatever made him start this anymore.
It's so
And she doesn't buy it, and it didn't feel like that made sense to that character at all.
Yeah, no, you're right, 'cause one, to take the leap of leaving your family of four, right? Whatever cockamamie excuse that she said that she was going to be away, and then she quickly gets found out that she's not where she's supposed to be, and that her husband has an inkling that, one, if you listen to his first voice, the voicemail message that he has, it's like it's pretty apparent. Oh, she left our family, this and this. Like that's a really big leap, and that could shatter her. And she leaned on Billy that time, right? It's interesting that with the journey that we travel with her, and it's one of those tropes just in TV writing and in just writing in general in film and TV that like I can't stand when like you could easily just ask a question and I'm sure that they would give an answer that would like solve all this, but for reasons to move the plot along, we're not, except you can't do that when that's the last episode. So like how dare you? You know, so it's I but I didn't believe that as much risk that she's already assumed. That seems like such an easy thing to explain. And like, I don't know the time difference between that video and like, is that really? Because I mean, he didn't send it, right? Because we've seen the video when he first saw it, right? That like, I think Fiona showed him and he didn't press it.
Well, I think the idea is that he sent that to potential publishers, but not to anyone else.
Okay.
But he definitely sent her the, that was definitely him sending her the run text.
Okay.
Yeah. My thing is, if it weren't for that, Donald Gleason has that lovely, like, monologue-y bit in that last episode, which I was like, all right, the whole series was worth it just for this for me. I would tell people who wanted to watch it, like, stop at see at episode 6 and pretend that it got canceled.
Do
I could
more
come up with a
people
better ending than they
I
did
bet
in my
and
imagination
I
if they had
agree
gotten cut off.
do we well I guess now since we've invested, do we want a season two?
I feel like it needs a season two to be complete, and I also feel like they need to have season two be the end. Like
I
they
want
need
a
to say
season two with a different writer. Is that mean? I don't know. I want a season two that doesn't make the same mistakes or that proves that they knew what they were doing in season one and we just couldn't see it yet.
I wonder how like what is like what's the bones of this? Like when they were putting up like the like when they were charting out this show, like did they have a clear at least beginning and end for what they were looking for in this first season? I don't honestly logically, I don't understand how they arrived at this end point based off of the beginning.
Yeah, it really doesn't feel like they did have an idea of where it was going to end. It was just the the idea for the show, it feels like one of those shows where the idea for the show was the pilot. And that's it. Like, and
And
that's
it
what they
got picked
sold it
up, and
on.
they were like, "Oh shit."
Yeah, now we actually have to tell this whole story weekly. You
And I think
know,
maybe they
and
figured out halfway through that it was better suited to a movie
yeah.
because there was about 2 hours worth of good story there, in which they didn't even follow that through. And they were like, better introduce like 40,000 new plot lines so that we can just aggressively pivot every 10 minutes.
Yeah. And it's really sad because like Donald Gleason and Merritt Weaver are so good.
They really are. I
Their
mean, their
performances.
performances
Oh my God.
are awesome. Like Merritt Weaver, so like I'm generally new to her. I've seen her a lot of supporting stuff. Obviously, most recently, she played the sister in Marriage Story. I think she did a really, really good job. I missed oh my God, what's what she did with Toni Collette?
Oh, unbelievable.
Unbelievable. I missed that, but I've heard so many great things
So
about
good.
her. And like what you were saying,
Yeah.
Nicole, she's an unconventional beauty based off of what Hollywood taught us of what a leading lady should look like
Well,
on TV and film.
so like at the same time as I'm watching Run, I've also been I went back and started New Girl from the beginning. And she's in New Girl and she plays the character Schmidt's ex-girlfriend from
She is Schmidt's
college
ex-girlfriend.
Yeah.
when he was fat. And so she's like the like she represents like the old Schmidt when he was fat and uncool. And that's the kind of role she gets put into so often. So to get to see her be this leading lady who has these sexy scenes and is like, I don't think we're ever supposed to question that Donald Gleason would want her.
Yeah.
And you know
That I
what?
think is pretty great.
He does a great job because honestly, how into her he is makes her that much more
Oh.
attractive to me, right? And I
Yes.
mean,
Yes.
personally, I find female figures in a lot of different shapes and sizes to be extremely attractive, right? And there's nothing about her that's like unappealing, right?
Right.
But I think it's almost as if, I mean, obviously she finds these insecurities in herself. She's like, I'm a mom, and like, and like she's trying to like get into her, like, it's really, really interesting, and I find it really cool that the show was able to like to lean into that. And I don't know if you guys have like done it. Has there been a lot of talk that you've been aware of either in Twitter or like other like review spaces about just her characterization and like, does she fit in like this world? Like, I feel like some more toxic folks, kind of like how they did on like Birds of Prey or whatever, like that would be like the center of the conversation. Has that been with this show, if you've heard anything?
I've seen a lot of female writers and female journalists praising her in this role, praising the casting of her in this role.
Yeah.
I guess maybe this is that like I'm quite selective about who I follow on Twitter, so I haven't seen any
Right.
backlash.
Yeah.
But I have seen a lot of people saying that it means a lot to them to see her in this sort of role.
I mean,
Yeah, I
she's.
haven't seen anything that's against her, and I think that at least in the critical space, I feel like most critics agree that she is one of the, best actresses of her generation, at least on TV. And I don't think there's really any arguing with that.
If anyone listening has a problem with her being cast in this role, come talk to me. I will fight you.
Please, yeah, I dare
As
someone.
will I.
No, and I'll say this, I kind of commented. I, especially like in the past few weeks, I have really been, I'll pat myself on the back for cultivating a Twitter feed that is has a lot less of the trollish behavior as what I like as what a lot of people seem to like encounter, which is great
Preach.
because I think that that's a good reflection of myself. So absolutely pat
Yep.
myself on the back. So like I loved her characterization. I completely believed, in this woman, and also I believe that there's so many Rubies like in the world, and I wonder,
Yeah.
what type of conversations are they having with their girlfriends or stuff like that, like through text messages and everything. Because I think the show is trying to have like a conversation too. He doesn't really dive into it, right? And I was kind of hoping that it would like the journey, even though I don't say I love the show, it just turns me off in a lot of ways, right? With what's the chick's name that does Girls?
Oh, Lena Dunham.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She had a lot of leash to be a Ruby that was like not married and have kids. You know?
Yeah.
Yep.
And
Yep.
And it was interesting one that what it was got like 4 seasons out of that show, I think 4 or 5.
I think five, yeah.
Five, wow. So I'd say this, if Lena Dunham in that show was able to get 4 or 5 seasons out of this, I really do believe that this can, if the story warrants it, can get a few as well. Because I think there's so much talent here, and I wouldn't want that to go to waste just with Mary Weaver, Donald Gleason, and Phoebe Waller-Bridge alone. I don't know where I want Laurel's character, Phoebe Waller-Bridge's character to go. Like, because I think it's great having an on the run, kind of like chase style. Like, there needs to be some type of, entity that is after them, right? Like, that has to be added to get them, to keep them moving. Like, that's where the comedy stems from. I just didn't believe it from, I guess now there's a murder. I didn't want that. That does complicate things.
Yeah, they just went too far with that, and I think that the threat of Ruby's home life was all the external forces coming to get them that
Yes.
they needed. And it was either they didn't believe that that was enough, or they think they needed to make it more expicing or something, and they were just wrong.
Yeah, I mean, just that last interaction, outside of the train station, and Lawrence, Ruby's husband, he was one. I'll tell you that was my wife. I expected him to like really just go to town, but he didn't. And I guess that's just like that straight laced, guy. And the fact that, Billy was the one that kind of confronted, like, no, you're not going to turn your back on me or on this. It felt so odd. It was uncomfortable for me, and I'm just watching. And then when I realized, oh, this is the last episode, it's not the way how you want to go out. And like I was, I'm I always like I'm a defender of mostly everything I watch because I've invested my time into it. We all want to like what we've watched on TV or watch in the movies, but there was so much that happened that ended up turning me off just based off the ending. Like I was apologizing a lot of the middle of the series. And then ultimately at the end, I was like, oh, so you're going to slap me in the face like that? Got you. And it's like, and it's nothing against Merritt. It's nothing against Donald or Phoebe. It's just, oh, man.
If anything, it's upsetting because Merritt and Domhnall are too good for this show. Like, I could see a version of this where they go about it more or less the same, and at the end, you're like, fuck yes, you tell him no, Ruby. But the two of them are so good at finding these little details about the character and making them feel like real, mostly good human beings who have made some poor decisions in their life, and not just poor in terms of like morally compromised, but poor in terms of poor of what brings them happiness. But they don't. They find so much in there that when it gets to that end, it doesn't feel satisfying in any way, because it feels like the storytelling has done those characters and that great characterization a huge disservice. It's like one of those things where a lot of people talked about Game of Thrones, how like the end was written in stone, and the characterizations that brought up to that got so far from that that it didn't make sense to where they ended up. There was also criticism that was lobbed at How I Met Your Mother at the ending, that the characters had grown and evolved past the already pre-planned ending of the show. But in this case, it was only one fucking season. It was 7 episodes, not 7 years,
I'll always call bullshit for stuff like that. Like, okay, we have a defined ending. One, I mean, if it was network TV, I kind of get it. You have these contracts, you have these actors for a limited amount of time. You generally know where you want to go. But, like, it's general in that sense. And your audience will kind of dictate how short a series should be and how long a series should be within reason. I mean, with Game of Thrones, there's nothing that happened in the first 6 seasons. Well, excuse me, there's nothing that happened at the end of season 8 that was dictating the first season in the first 6 seasons. Like, I'm sorry. Like, there's no way, and I would love to see proof. Like, I want to see it in writing. Hey, this is where we're ending, and I don't care how we get there, but this is how we have to get there, and we'll figure out seven and eight and make it work. That's I call super bullshit on anybody that says that. It's because it's just the writing was too good in those first six seasons to then not get good just because of time. Like, no, I'm sorry. It's weird here because we know, like, there's talented writing in here. Like, there's some, really great dialogue that goes on between them inside this train car. I'm like, yo, I am completely into this. I love, like, this sex. I love the tension between them. And they really know, like, there's something that Mara Weaver does with her mouth that is just, like, fucking.
Yep.
Yeah.
How to describe it. She knows exactly, like, I don't know. She Do you know, what I mean?
The fact that both of us knew exactly what you were talking about without describing it as other than she does something with her mouth, that like, says it all.
It's not like – it's not an over-the-top lip bite, but she presses her tongue into, like, the sides of, like, her mouth. It slightly exposes her teeth. And, like, it's the type of shit, like, when I write a character and I'm like – oh, this is totally a Kobe thing. Like, I'm going to write this thing, and I hope I can find an actress that can translate that. I'm like, holy shit! Like, that's it. That's exactly what I'm trying to capture. And she does it because, like I said, this is a woman that typically isn't, I don't want to say conventionally sexy, but, like, we talked about it, but, like, can still be sexy. And I can see how that can, like, drive Donald Gleason mad. Like, I mean, that first – when they're meeting, all they want to do is tear each other's clothes off. And, like, they just can't. And, like, Ruby really, really wants to. It is so good. And, like, I still don't know how they got to this. Because, like, I mean, when she gets that text and she decides to go, I'm like, oh, what's going on? Like, what's the rules, right? Like, I'm so interested in these worlds and, like, the rules it abides by. And I felt like there was not really any rules. And I think you said it, like, amazingly, Dan, that this was a pitch for the pilot. And then, like, that was it. It was like, oh, shit, we have to write the rest of this. And it sucks that HBO may have put, like, a time crunch on to be able to get it out. Understandably so. I've been such, like, a dogged defender of HBO because they've just been, like, so consistent in their quality for decades. I'm going to give them a mulligan with this one and see what season two does. I mean, and they better come with it. And I don't – like I said, seven is an odd number of episodes. I don't understand that logic. I think 8 to 10 is, like, typically what we've expected, for some of these, premium, streaming services, as is. But I'm down to watch again. I'll put my best Matt Nagley on. So, guys, let's score this on a scale of 1 to 10. I gotta get him down. Dan Bear.
That is a good impression. Holy shit. Well, before I get into my final thoughts, I think what you were trying to say earlier about how perfectly Merritt Weaver is able to act this thing in your mind is Merritt Weaver, holla at your boy. He has a part for you.
Yeah.
Yes. Like, I'll say this. I mean, I already have a registered trademark, but there is a fantasy thriller that I'm writing where essentially – this man who in my movie would be Lawrence, he is writing, he journals a lot, and essentially he has fallen in love with a fictitious character who is Ruby. And Ooh. Essentially, without him realizing, this fictitious character has come to life. And the film does like pulls a waves where essentially we shift the perspective and now we move away from the male character and now the rest of the film becomes essentially this fictitious character, her battling being written by this man and having this relationship that she's slowly becoming more aware of, and then by the end of the film she's realizing that she's not real and how she has to deal with that.
10 out of 10 would watch.
I'm ready. Ask
yeah.
Merit.
Yeah, I swear, because it's exactly like I didn't want some type of like sexed up, coke bottle bomb show, because, like, honestly, general men who aren't producers and writers in Hollywood don't really dream up of women like that, and like would like that wouldn't work, and like that, like, yeah, Merritt, holla at your boy. Thank you, Dan. So yes, let's get into final thoughts. Yeah, let's get into final thoughts and grades around.
I wanted to like this so much. And I still like it a lot, but I only like it for the performances now. I would definitely go back and watch the first couple episodes again, just to like bathe in the chemistry between Merritt Weaver and Donald Gleason. But it just it after probably episode four when they were in Chicago, it just went downhill very, very fast. And the end was as for a great I'd be at a seven. That's probably too generous, but I just that's how much I liked the two of them in this show.
Absolutely. Nicole.
Yeah, I want to preface my grade by saying that I am open to this grade going up were the show to get a second season that
Yeah.
fixed some of the issues. I think like if we got a second season and that wasn't where it ended, I would be more generous
Agree.
towards the first season. Because like Dan said, the performances are out of this world. I love, love, love the concept. I love the character of Ruby. I love things set on trains, so like that won me over.
Hey, there we go.
That's a weird genre that I'm really into. And I need to figure out the timestamp of that nice monologue that Donald Gleason has in the last episode so I can just rewatch that. But I'm gonna go with a six. And that, I mean, that's still good, like, because I did enjoy about half of it a lot. And like I said, I could bump up to a seven if we got a second season.
You know what? I'm so thankful to like to have this conversation because one, I can like better kind of solidify of like my sentiments on the show, interpreting this season with the prospect of a second season, because it better come. Like we better get an announcement, or our scores will go down.
Seriously, like I'd
yes.
probably go down to a six if it was not if there's not a second season, because just like ugh, they really shit the bed for the finale.
Yeah, I mean, the first two episodes were so strong in keeping up the allure and the mystery that I bought into their world. I bought into their characters. Their performances are outstanding. Yes, I want to cast you, Merritt Weaver, Domhnall Gleeson. Yo, chef's kiss, bro. I appreciate you, man. And I love his beard. His beard is great.
Yeah.
His beard is really, really good.
It really contributes to the whole like hangdog puppy face that he
Yes.
has that makes it even more irresistible, and I hate it.
I just can't even comment.
Yeah, so like I mean I bought into them and I do like, you know, Laurel is an interesting character, the performance by Phoebe Waller-Bridge, but like I appreciate it to not balance out, but at least to add some spice to the last several episodes that just felt out of place and made the season as a whole felt disjointed. I'm gonna go with Nicole on this and give it a six. On the Colby Tomy scale, that is a fine slash okay. And I think that's what it is. This is a fine slash okay because it was a good start, didn't end well, but we have the prospect of it being remedied based off of like what this first episode in this second season will be. Obviously, due to COVID, who knows when we'll get a second season. I think it's not said enough how these, well, even though it's been 3 months, ideally these 3 to 6 months of no production or very limited production is going to just delay and what that domino effect is going to look like into 2021. It's going to be really, really interesting. Like, I'm glad that there's a lot of stuff in the pipeline already, but I have no idea like what happens in the fall. When it comes to network TV, I think fall is pretty much canceled at this point because like there's no pilot season, so I have no idea. Like, I have no
Absolutely.
idea, you know, what's going to happen. HBO does have some stuff coming up. There was a the show that was marketed a lot next to Run. It's with this British actress who was in this Netflix musical. Are you familiar with it, Dan? It's currently playing now. I think it's like, you know, it's like two or three episodes in. So I'm never gonna hurt you or something like that. Or, but it was marketed next to Run, like after each episode.
Not remember.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, the summer shows for HBO, I won't say they're peculiar, but it's different. Only thing I'm looking for right now is Lovecraft Country, with Jonathan
Yes, very
Majors.
looking forward to Lovecraft Country.
Yeah, so that, like, that looks really good. And I will say for HBO Max, and we can get to it real quick. Has anyone watched Love Life with Anna Kendrick?
No, but it is next up on my list, I think, because I love Anna Kendrick and I have followed her into far worse projects, I'm sure. So
Well, you know, the
she's one
first
of those people like Donald Gleason that, like, I will follow you into something terrible and I'll still be like, I love you anyways. I will support you.
I definitely the folks who I've mentioned it to say, like, they're, I guess it hangs on if they're Anna Kendrick fans or not. I don't know how you couldn't. Like, how does Mousy turn you off? But whatever. like, she's great. The first three episodes were available at launch for HBO Max. I need to watch the fourth episode. I need to remember, like, what day they come out on. I liked it. At first I thought, like, oh, it's giving me like the Sex and the City vibes, right? But then pretty much it is like the white girl Insecure. It's cool. It is cool. I thought the pilot episode was great. It's a really unique journey into her love life, and it chronicles, like, you know, several years. So, like, I liked it a lot. So I would recommend it. I guess that would be something kind of similar, you know, if I can make a recommendation based off a run, that we have this unconventional female lead, and because we've known Anna Kendrick since her days at Twilight, I think that there's something appealing about movie stardom where audiences can take part in an actor's journey on these different roads and roles that they take. And I liked seeing her in this because I'm not saying it's wildly different than anything she's done, but it's definitely different enough. And I thought it was really cool. Yep. So, yep, that is our conversation into Run. Yo, Nicole, Dan, thanks so much for rocking the mic with your boy. I really do appreciate it. I put a tweet out like a week and a half ago, and I was like, yo, I wonder if there's anybody else that wants to talk about this show. And they were like, Kobe. Talk about
I was
show.
So happy that you posted that because I was like, yes.
We've been yelling about this show between the two of us, texting constantly while we watched it, and we were like, a platform, finally.
Hey, well, it's great. I mean, you know, thanks for, like, you know, carving out some time, you know, on this beautiful day and talking about this show. And, like, you know, hopefully if there's anything that you guys want to talk about show-wise, now that I have dabbled my foot into more editing and I'm having people on, I'm like, yeah, come on my show. Come here. So, yes, if there's anything you guys ever want to chop it up about, especially, like, anything, like, you know, new that you're getting to, whether it's on Amazon Prime or, you know, Hulu or Disney Plus or Apple TV Plus or anything else with the pluses, like, hey, let's figure it out. Let's get everyone back on. So that way the people who are listening to this podcast can be able to listen to you, and so they can listen to you more and know where you're at. Dan, if you could tell the people where to find you and what you got going on.
Yes, you can find me on Twitter at Dancin' Dan on Film. You can find me regularly writing for and podcasting over at Next Best Picture.
Perfect. And Nikki A, a.k.a. Nicole Ackman.
You can find me pretty much everywhere on the internet, Twitter, Instagram, Letterboxd, at Nicole Ackman 16. You can hear me and read my stuff over at Next Best Picture, In Their Own League, FF2 Media, and on my period drama podcast, which is called Petticoats and Poppies. Ooh. And thank you so much for having us, Colby.
Yeah, no, this was absolutely fun. Yeah. Can't wait to do it again, guys. Thanks so much for listening. And remember, when they ask you where you heard it from, tell them Colby told me. Peace.